Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Today I'd like to talk with you about the freedom that we have in the gospel of Christ, and especially freedom from guilt. Now, all of us have felt guilty at times. Some of us feel guilty almost all the time. And it's a debilitating thing. When you feel guilty, it eats away at you. It gnaws away at you. Kind of like a dog gnawing upon a bone, and it bleeds the life out of you when you carry guilt around with you. And we can feel guilty about a lot of things. We can feel guilty about our past, looking back on it ashamed. We can feel guilty about a present sin. We can feel guilty over not measuring up. We say, I didn't do this well enough. I didn't do that well enough. I should have done this. I should have done that. And we carry around guilt all day long. Maybe you look back in your life and you just wished you could have lived it a little bit differently. And you look at your family and you think, I thought I did a good job, and lo and behold, they're having so many problems. You can feel guilty about all kinds of things. But today we're going to talk about a remedy that God gives us in Christ, that we might live free from guilt. And the good news is that God desires for you in Christ that you would have this burden lifted, that you would be free from guilt, and not have to bear its burden anymore in your conscience. And so, also, if you remember last week in the sermon, I'd said that you can't have joy and guilt at the same time. If guilt is in your heart, you can't have joy. If joy is experienced in your heart, you can't be experiencing guilt. And so God's will for you is that you would be full of joy in the Lord, rejoicing always before him. Therefore, we have to deal with guilt. Happily, God does that for us. So let's talk about guilt today, and that we might live free and rejoicing before God. What's God say in the matter? What's he say to you in the scriptures about guilt? Let's learn. Number one, God says and teaches us that guilt originated in the garden. We go back to Genesis chapter 3, and we hear about the Adam and Eve again. It says, when the woman saw the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave some to her husband, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, which, by the way, can also be translated in the wind of the storm. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. We learn two things here, especially about guilt. First of all, it's a feeling. What did Adam and Eve do as soon as they had sinned? They sewed fig leaves and hid themselves from each other. And so it brings shame between you and your fellow man, and a rift in relationships. It also brings shame and a rift in a relationship in our relationship with God. And they felt condemned in their conscience. They dreaded God's judgment. They feared the Lord. And they felt guilt-ridden. So it's a feeling. You feel guilty. But secondly, it's also a state of being before God. Because they sinned against God, and God came for judgment, and they were condemned as guilty before him. Therefore, when God came, he said, where are you, Adam? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat? And then it says, the Lord God said to the serpent, because you've done this, cursed are you above all cattle. To the woman, he said, I'll surely multiply your pain in childbearing. To Adam, he said, cursed is the ground because of you. And so it's a feeling, and it's also a state of being to be under guilt before God. And the second thing we can say about guilt is that everyone experiences this because we've all sinned. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 5 says, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all men sinned. And it's a very powerful emotion. You ever feel like you're being sent on a guilt trip by your friends? That's not a very happy trip, is it? But it's a powerful emotion that we have. It was guilt that caused Isaiah to cry out when he came into the presence of the Lord, "Woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." And then when the Jews brought the woman caught in adultery to Jesus, it was guilt that caused them to drop their stones and walk away one by one after Jesus said, "Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her." And it was guilt that caused Judas Iscariot to go and take his own life after he betrayed Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And guilt plagues the whole human race and haunts us for our wrongdoing. As Sharon read a few moments ago in Isaiah 24, "The earth lies defiled under its inhabitants, for they have transgressed the laws, violated the statutes, broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore a curse devours the earth, and its inhabitants suffer for their guilt. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are scorched, and few men are left." Pretty sad state on account of guilt, isn't it? So how do people deal with it? It's a gnawing, troubling feeling, that pang of conscience inside that keeps knocking on the door of our mind and of our heart saying, "Guilty, guilty, you're not measuring up, guilty." Well, how do people deal with it? I'll tell you a story. I read a man once entered a bar and bought a glass of beer from the bartender and immediately took the beer and threw it into his face and then started to wipe it off with a napkin saying, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I just have this compulsion. Every time someone gives me a glass of beer, I just am compelled to throw it in his face." The bartender said, "Well, you better deal with your problem, otherwise you're never getting another drink from me." So the man went away, did 3 months of counseling, and came back. And the bartender said, "I'm not going to serve you. I remember you." And he says, "Oh, no, I've been to a psychologist, and the problem's solved." So the bartender gave him a drink. And the man quickly took the glass and splashed him in the face with it. And he says, the bartender says, "I thought you said you were cured." And the man cried, I am. I've been to a psychologist, and after seeing him, I don't feel guilty about it anymore." Isn't that the way the world deals with guilt, though? They don't face it head on. They go to a psychologist. There are a lot of good ones, but a lot of really bad apples. No offense to the apples over here. The literal apples. But the world and everybody experiences guilt in their heart to some degree, and it's a painful feeling. And so we try to deal with it. And how do people deal with it? Some people shift the blame and say, "It was his fault, or it was my parents' fault, or it was my upbringing." Or here's one from a traffic violation. Someone once said, "I was driving and the telephone pole was approaching fast. I attempted to swerve out of its path, but it struck the front of my car." Another person said in his report, "There was this pedestrian in the street, and he had no idea which way to jump, so I ran him over." It was his fault. It was the telephone pole's fault. And isn't this what Adam said when God came to him and he found him in guilt and him at fault? "Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat?" And he said, "The woman that you gave to me, she gave me the fruit and I ate." It was her fault, the woman's fault. And by the way, God, it's the woman you gave me, right? It's your fault. And then Eve, God says, "What is this that you've done to the woman?" She says, "The serpent deceived me." We pass the buck. We pass the blame. As soon as we feel condemned, it's somebody else's fault, not mine. Is that a healthy way to deal with guilt? No, not at all. And God didn't certainly take any of that in the Garden of Eden. Other people just deny it flat out, and they seem to never feel a pang of conscience. And these are the most incorrigible, difficult to deal with people in the world. You get a boss who goes around yelling at his workers all morning, or a husband who belittles his wife, or a pet owner who strikes blows to his pet, and then they go about the rest of their day eating lunch and lying their head on their pillow at night, never giving it a thought. And they don't seem to feel guilt. But woe to such people, for how will they ever repent? For For God says, though you wash yourself with lye and much soap, the stain of your guilt is still before me, declares the Lord. How can you say I'm not unclean? I have not gone after the Baals. Look at your valley, way in the valley. Know what you have done. And another thing that people do is some just try to run from it. They go to a different state. They take a different job. They marry another spouse. They find other friends. Instead of facing their guilt, they flee from it. Have you been guilty of this? Think about Jonah. He ran, and he ended up in the belly of a fish. Judas, at the end of a rope, and Peter in a fishing boat. The problem with trying to run from your guilt and just deny it and go somewhere else, in your habits or in your physical locale, the problem is that guilt follows you wherever you go because it's in your heart. And it's the law of God working upon your conscience, saying, you have fallen short of his glory. And so what do all these approaches have in common, these and a whole bunch of others, is they don't work. They're dealing with guilt from the wrong angle. They're not dealing with it directly. But Christianity is the one religion, it's the truth, by the way, and it deals with guilt straight on. And so what's God saying? How do Christians deal with guilt? Let's read about David in Psalm 32. He says here, verse 3, when I declared not my sin, my body wasted away. Through my groaning all day long, for day and night thy hand was heavy upon me, and my strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. I acknowledged my sin to thee, and I did not hide my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. Then thou didst forgive the guilt of my sin. So, as Christians, guilt is a good thing, even though it's painful and it doesn't feel right, but it's a warning sign that something is wrong between us and God, between us and each other, between us and ourselves. It's a good thing because it's meant to drive you to repentance, to repentance that leads to life. Listen, Paul wrote a letter once to the Corinthians, and they were deeply troubled by it, and he says, I regretted sending that letter because of how deeply it grieved you. But then he says, I don't regret it, though I did regret it, because I see that that letter grieved you, though only for a while. For you felt a godly grief, so that you suffered no light loss through us. For godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation and brings no regret, but worldly grief produces death. And so, if you're feeling guilty this morning, God says to you, acknowledge it before me. Simply acknowledge it and come to me and let me deal with it for you. And he encourages you in this way through Jeremiah. He says, go and proclaim these words, Jeremiah. Return, faithless Israel. I'll not look on you in anger, for I'm a merciful God, declares the Lord. I will not be angry forever. Only acknowledge your guilt, that you've rebelled against the Lord your God and scattered your favors among the foreigners under every green tree, and that you've not obeyed my voice, declares the Lord. Return, O faithless children, declares the Lord, for I am your master. I will take you one from a city and two from a family, and I will bring you to Zion. That's beautiful. God encourages, saying, come to me with whatever is gnawing away on your conscience today. Maybe it's a sin that you have repented of and confessed, but it's still bearing upon your heart. Bring it to the Lord, confess it, and receive his forgiveness. And how has God dealt with it? God dealt with your guilt in a very powerful way through Jesus Christ. John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We have the story in the gospel today of the great exchange. It says in John 18, Pilate went outside of the Jews and told them, I find no guilt in him, in Christ. But you have a custom that I should release for you one man at the Passover. So do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews? They cried out, not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. And then what happened? They continued to cry out, crucify him, crucify him, says Luke. A third time, he said, why, what evil has he done? I found no guilt in him, deserving death. I'll therefore punish him and release him. But they were urgent, demanding with loud cries that he be crucified. Their voices prevailed, so Pilate decided that their demand should be granted. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, whom they asked for, but he delivered Jesus over to their will. You know what God has done with you? He releases the man who has been thrown into prison for insurrection and for murder, you, setting you free, but Jesus he delivered over into the cross for your salvation, according to his will. It's the great exchange. God dealt with your guilt, therefore, in two ways. First of all, legally, your state of guilt, condemnation under God. Jesus stepped into your position. He stepped into your prison that you might be set free from the wrath of God. He endured it on your behalf. So you're set free now, who believe in Christ, from the state of guilt and condemnation under God. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Can you let those words sink into you today? The second thing Jesus delivered for you, from is the feelings of guilt. Let's go back to David here in Psalm 32. He says, "Happy is the man whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputes no iniquity." Has everybody here sinned? Yes. Have you all done things for which you deserve to feel guilty? But the Lord has laid on him the iniquities of us all. He's taken those away and therefore also takes away your feelings of guilt. And therefore joy can spring up in its place. Jeremiah 33, "I'll cleanse them from all their guilt of their sin against me, says the Lord. I'll forgive all the guilt of their sin and rebellion against me. And the city shall be to me a name of joy, a praise, and a glory before all the nations of the earth who hear of all the good that I do for them. They shall fear and tremble because of all the good and all the prosperity I provide for it." God replaces your guilt with joy. "As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. And he canceled the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross." Praise God. So now you say, "But I still feel guilty. What's going on? Why do we still feel guilty?" Well, a couple possibilities here. Number one, maybe there's still a sin in your life that you need to confess. If there is, confess it. For if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just, and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The second one I think maybe a lot of us deal with is a false sense of guilt. You know, Leonardo da Vinci said, "I've offended God and mankind because my work didn't reach the quality it should have." You ever feel like that? You're going through your day. You know you're in Christ. You know you're forgiven. But you also feel guilty all the time because you're like, "I should have walked the dog. I should have gone to bed earlier. I should have written a letter this week. I should have visited someone in the hospital. I should have. Well, how about you just not add to God's word and his laws, and don't let the devil, by this trap, rob you of your freedom in the gospel? How about replacing your I should have with, "I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to do this. But if I don't, I haven't broken a law for which I should feel guilty." But if it's a real sin, confess it, believe it. And then you say, "But if I still feel guilty," well, here's a problem some of us have, is God forgives us, but we won't forgive ourselves. You ever have this problem? You've confessed it, and you're like, "Okay, I've received forgiveness of God, but I'm not going to let myself off the hook so easily. I'm still culpable. I'm still at fault. I'm still to blame." And we're like a tick that gets into the skin. You can rip the body off, but the head is still stuck in there. Well, God says to you, "Let it go." Who are you to feel and believe that you're a better judge than God? If God, who is the righteous, omniscient, all-powerful judge, has forgiven you in Christ, who are you to say that you know better than he? "God has forgiven me, but I'm going to hold myself to a higher standard." Shame on you. Don't do this. This is not right. For God is the righteous judge. My sins, having been confessed, are forgiven and taken away by Jesus. Will you let him do that right now? Whatever sin that you've committed, forgive yourself as God has forgiven you. And be free. And lastly, maybe you have a forgiveness from God and you feel that forgiveness, but there's still a rift in the relationship with the person that you hurt when you did wrong. Well, then your feelings there ought to drive you to do your best to reconcile. Maybe that person's a jerk, okay, and he just won't accept your forgiveness or your repentance or any of these things. But you go and do your best that you can to reconcile with that person. Call him or her, write a letter, reach out, make amends. And therefore, James says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. So in conclusion then today, Christianity is the truth. All the religions and all other manners of philosophy in dealing with guilt are false because they don't deal with it directly. God says, acknowledge it. Come to me. I'm a merciful and forgiving God. I will cleanse you of your guilt so that you walk through the rest of your life not carrying that burden anymore. Guilt free. Wouldn't that be cool? That is God's will. And you can have it right now. Receive the gospel of God. For surely he has borne our griefs. He's carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole. And with his stripes, we are healed. Amen.